blending until creamy and smooth. Serve and enjoy immediately. Tips. Cilantro may be used in place of the basil by substituting 1/4 cup of cilantro leaves. If this soup doesn't have you singing Alleluia at the beginning of your journey, give it another try in a few weeks. As your palate begins to change, you may find that you wind up loving this soup so much that you make it a staple of your diet. Sun-dried tomato artichoke dip with vegetable crudité. Makes 2 servings. This creamy dip takes only seconds to prepare and combines bold flavors with comforting warmth. Sun-dried tomatoes, garlic, and parsley blend perfectly with tender artichoke hearts to create a dip that will have everyone coming back for more. You'll need 2 cups of steamed artichoke hearts, C-tips, 3/4 cup of oil-free sun-dried tomatoes soaked in hot water for 5 minutes, 2 tablespoons of raw tahini, 1 cup of loosely packed parsley, 2 cloves of garlic, 1 lemon, 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt. Vegetables of your choice for dipping, such as bell pepper, cucumber, cauliflower, radishes, asparagus. Place the artichoke hearts, sun-dried tomatoes, tahini, parsley, garlic cloves, juice of the lemon and sea salt into a food processor. Process the ingredients together until well combined. Serve the artichoke dip alongside any vegetables of your choice. Tips. To prepare the artichoke hearts, follow the directions for steaming whole artichokes in the dinner section that follows. Allow the artichokes to cool and then remove all of the tough green leaves until only the tender yellow leaves remain. Cut the artichoke in half and remove the choke, the silky white and purple leaves and the underlying filaments, completely by scooping it out with a spoon. Now your artichoke heart is ready to use. If raw tahini is unavailable, regular tahini may be used instead. Raw tahini has a milder flavor and roasted tahini is more distinctive. Either will work well. Enjoy this dip with raw vegetables as described or with cooked vegetables of any kind. If you're feeling creative, you can even try stuffing it into a baked potato. Dinner. Nachos style baked potatoes. Makes 2 to 3 servings. While traditional nachos may involve chips, these soft and golden baked potato rounds leave nothing to be desired. Cooked perfectly in the oven until crispy on the outside and tender in the middle, then piled high with the familiar flavors of avocado, tomato, onion, and cilantro, these potatoes will disappear fast, so you may want to make a double batch. Make these potatoes extra indulgent by topping them with the garlic cashew aioli, described later on. You'll need 6 medium potatoes, 2 teaspoons of coconut oil, 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, divided, 1 avocado, diced, 1 cup of diced tomato, 1 cup of diced onion, 1/2 cup of cilantro, chopped, 1/2 jalapeno, minced, optional, 2 limes, 1/4 cup of garlic cashew aioli, optional. Recipe to follow. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Peel and slice the potatoes into rounds that are 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch thick. Toss them with the coconut oil and 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt. Arrange the potatoes on a baking tray lined with parchment paper. Leave space so that they're not touching or overlapping. Bake the potatoes for 20 minutes. Flip and then bake for 10 more minutes. While the potatoes bake, combine the avocado, tomato, onion, cilantro, jalapeno and the juice of both limes in a small mixing bowl. Arrange the potato slices in a pile on a serving plate. Top with the avocado salsa and drizzle the garlic cashew aioli over the top if desired. Finish the nachos off with the remaining sea salt and enjoy. tips. Experiment with different varieties of potatoes for different nutrients, flavors, and textures. For a make-ahead trick, try peeling and slicing the potatoes in advance and storing them in a bowl of cold water in the fridge. They will keep well for up to 3 days this way. Just change the water daily and enjoy having potatoes ready to go at a moment's notice. Cauliflower fried rice makes 2 to 3 servings. Juggling our healing journeys with the demands of busy schedules and the needs of our loved ones can be a challenge. This cauliflower fried rice may make your life a little easier with its restaurant quality flavor and fast prep time. It's a recipe that can be made cooked or raw, and it's easy to customize with your family's favorite vegetables and herbs. Take 1 medium cauliflower, about 6 cups of florets, 1 teaspoon of coconut oil, 1/2 a red onion diced, 1 inch of ginger minced, 3 cloves of garlic minced, 1 large carrot diced, 1 red bell pepper diced, 2 stalks of celery diced, 1 cup of peas, 1 teaspoon of toasted sesame oil, 2 tablespoons of coconut aminos, 1/2 a teaspoon of raw honey, optional, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/2 a jalapeno, optional, 1 cup of cilantro, 1/4 cup of chopped almonds, optional, 2 teaspoons of sesame seeds, and 1 lime. Cut cauliflower into florets and place into a food processor. Pulse until the cauliflower achieves a coarse rice texture. Use a nut milk bag or cheesecloth to wring extra moisture out of the rice and then set it aside. Heat 1 teaspoon of coconut oil in a large pan and sauté the onion over medium-high heat until translucent and cooked through. Add water by the tablespoon as needed to prevent sticking. Place the ginger, garlic, carrot, bell pepper, celery and peas in the pan with the red onion and continue to cook for 5 to 7 minutes until the vegetables begin to soften. Add the cauliflower rice, toasted sesame oil, coconut aminos, honey and sea salt to the pan and stir well to combine. Continue to cook for another 5 to 7 minutes until cauliflower rice is tender. Serve the cauliflower fried rice, topped with jalapeno if desired, along with cilantro, chopped almonds, sesame seeds, and a generous squeeze of lime juice. For raw cauliflower fried rice, follow the first steps to make cauliflower rice, and then place the rice into a large bowl along with the red onion, ginger, 1 clove of minced garlic, carrot, bell pepper, and celery. Stir the toasted sesame oil, coconut aminos, sea salt, and jalapeno into the cauliflower rice and marinate for at least 15 minutes. Serve topped with cilantro, chopped almonds, sesame seeds, and lime juice. Steamed artichokes with garlic cashew aioli makes 2 servings. Steamed artichokes are delicious eaten on their own with a little lemon juice and sea salt, especially when you know about all of the healing benefits they bring to your thyroid. This recipe takes artichokes to another level, pairing them with a decadent garlic cashew aioli. It's an incredibly simple recipe to pull together and a great way to wow the guests at your next dinner gathering. You'll need 4 artichokes, 1 cup of cashews, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 garlic cloves, 2 lemons, 1/4 of a teaspoon of sea salt, 1/2 to 1 cup of water. Trim the artichokes by slicing 1/2 inch off the tops and all but 1/2 inch off the stems. Trim any remaining leaves by 1/2 inch as well. Bring a pot of water to the boil. Place the artichokes into a steamer basket inside the pot. Steam the artichokes for 30 to 40 minutes depending on size. They're done when one of the leaves pulls off easily and is tender. Combine the cashews, olive oil, garlic, juice of 2 lemons and sea salt in the blender with 1/2 cup of water. Blend until smooth for a thicker aioli. For a thinner consistency, continue to stream in another half a cup of water while blending. Serve the artichokes alongside the cashew aioli for dipping and top with any fresh herbs as desired. Tip: save the extra aioli for use as a sauce over steamed potatoes or broccoli. As a topping for the nachos-style baked potatoes, recipe described earlier, or massaged into kale for a hearty salad. Spaghetti squash bolognese makes two servings. Spaghetti squash gets its name for a very good reason. The tender yellow strands are so much like spaghetti, especially when you top them with a rich savory tomato sauce and a sprinkle of Brazil nut basil parmesan. This dish will be an instant favorite with family and friends, so you might want to make a double batch. Freeze a batch of the sauce so that you always have some on hand when the urge for a big bowl of spaghetti strikes. You'll need 1 large spaghetti squash, 2 cups of diced red onion, 4 cloves of garlic minced, 2 cups of cherry tomatoes, 1 cup of sliced mushrooms, optional, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of poultry seasoning, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 of a teaspoon of curry powder, 1/4 of a teaspoon of sea salt, 1/2 a cup of sun-dried tomatoes, soaked 5 minutes in hot water, 1/4 of a cup of Brazil nut basil parmesan. For the Brazil nut basil parmesan, you'll need 1/4 of a cup of Brazil nuts, 1/4 of a teaspoon of sea salt, 1/4 of a teaspoon of dried basil, and 1 clove of garlic. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Carefully slice the spaghetti squash in half and discard the seeds. Fill a baking tray with 1/2 inch of water and place the squash halves, cut side down, on the tray. Bake the squash for 30 to 40 minutes until one finger pressed gently into the exterior of the squash leaves an indentation. Remove the squash halves from the oven. When they are cool enough to handle, use a fork to scrape down the insides of the squash, creating spaghetti strands. Divide the squash noodles between 2 bowls. To make the bolognese, place the diced onion into a medium saucepan along with 2 tablespoons of water. Sauté the onion over medium-high heat until translucent and tender. Continue adding water by the tablespoon as needed to prevent sticking. Add the garlic, cherry tomatoes, mushrooms, chili powder, poultry seasoning, garlic powder, curry powder, sea salt, and sun-dried tomatoes to the saucepan and continue cooking, stirring frequently for 5 to 7 minutes until the tomatoes soften. Using an immersion blender, blend the sauce ingredients together until combined but still chunky. Alternatively, transfer to a standing blender and pulse blend, making sure to leave the top ajar for steam to escape. Serve the sauce over the top of the spaghetti squash noodles. Top with the Brazil nut basil parmesan and enjoy. Place the Brazil nuts, sea salt, basil and garlic into the blender or food processor and pulse briefly until small crumbles form. Snacks: sweet potato chips and guacamole makes 1 to 2 servings. Chips get a bad reputation because many store-bought chips come loaded with preservatives and undesirable ingredients. It is possible to make delicious, clean chips right in the oven at home. The following recipe has a lot of spices for a bold, flavorful chip, though feel free to leave them all out. These chips are just as delicious with nothing more than a sprinkle of sea salt or dipped in this mouth-watering guacamole. You'll need 2 large sweet potatoes, 1/4 of a teaspoon of sea salt, 1/4 of a teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 of a teaspoon of cumin, 1/4 of a teaspoon of paprika, 1/4 of a teaspoon of chili powder, 1/4 of a teaspoon of cayenne, optional, 2 teaspoons of coconut oil, optional. And for the guacamole, you'll need 2 avocados, 1/2 a lemon, 1 lime, one small tomato, finely diced, quarter of a red onion, finely diced, half a cup of cilantro, chopped, one clove of garlic, minced, quarter of a jalapeno, minced, optional, and quarter of a teaspoon of sea salt, optional. Preheat the oven to 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Using a mandolin or knife, slice the sweet potatoes into very thin rounds, approximately 1/16 inch thick if possible, and no thicker than 1/8 inch. Make sure they are even and thin, though not transparent. Bring a pot of water to the boil. Place the sweet potato slices into the boiling water and return to a simmer over medium heat. After 5 minutes, remove the sweet potatoes and discard the water. Combine the sea salt, garlic powder, cumin, paprika, chili powder and cayenne in a small bowl. Lightly grease 2 baking trays with coconut oil. Arrange the sweet potato slices on the trays so they are not overlapping. Brush the tops of the sweet potatoes lightly with more coconut oil. Sprinkle the spice mix generously over the top of the slices. Bake the sweet potatoes for 25 minutes. Remove the trays from the oven and set the slices that are already crispy to one side. Return the trays to the oven for 5 more minutes and then check to remove the crispy chips again. If needed, bake the remaining slices 3 to 5 minutes more. Note that the chips might not appear crispy when first removed from the oven, though they should crisp up as they cool. Serve sweet potato chips alongside guacamole or enjoy them plain. For best results, serve shortly after making. To make the guacamole, mash the avocado together with the juice from the lemon and lime in a small bowl. Stir the tomato, onion, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, and sea salt into the mashed avocado. Serve and enjoy with the sweet potato chips alongside any cut-up vegetables of your choice, as a salad dressing or even on top of cooked vegetables, as desired. Wild Blueberry Banana Ice Cream makes 2 servings. This ice cream is everything you could want it to be. Creamy, sweet, and cold. The best thing about it is that you can enjoy it at any time you want, without the fear of it setting you back on your healing. Ice cream for breakfast? Absolutely. Ice cream for dinner? Why not? It also makes the perfect snack. No matter when you enjoy your banana ice cream, your thyroid and the rest of your body will thank you for the healing benefits this indulgence brings. You will need 3 large frozen bananas, 2 cups of defrosted wild blueberries divided, and 2 tablespoons of raw honey, optional. Place 1 cup of thawed wild blueberries and their liquid into the food processor, along with 2 tablespoons of raw honey if desired. Pulse 5 times until just combined. Many of the berries should still be whole. Set this sauce aside. Roughly chop the bananas and place them into a food processor, along with the remaining cup of wild blueberries. Process until a smooth, soft-serve ice cream forms. If desired, you can place the ice cream into the freezer to harden for 2 hours before scooping it out. Serve the ice cream in individual bowls and top with the wild blueberry sauce. Enjoy! Tip: make this into an ice cream sundae with your choice of healing toppings. Try sprinkling your dish with chopped dates or figs, fresh berries, sliced banana, shredded coconut, hemp seeds, or chopped walnuts. Raspberry Thumbprint Cookies makes 4 to 6 servings. Healing doesn't mean that you can't enjoy a sweet treat when you need one. These raspberry thumbprints are delicious and have none of the harmful ingredients that can be found in some store-bought kinds. The bright pop of raspberry jam nestled in a rich, nutty dough makes these gorgeous little cookies a true gift to yourself. You'll need 1 cup plus 2 tablespoons of almond flour, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, half a cup of tahini, half a cup of coconut sugar or maple sugar, half a teaspoon of alcohol-free vanilla extract, half a cup of white sesame seeds, half a cup of raspberry jam. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Whisk together the almond flour, baking soda, and sea salt in a mixing bowl and set aside. Process together the tahini, coconut sugar, and vanilla extract in a food processor until smoothly combined. Add the almond flour mixture to the food processor and pulse until well combined. If the mixture is still crumbly, add water by the tablespoon as needed until smooth dough forms. Form the dough into 1-inch balls and roll them in the sesame seeds before placing them onto a baking tray lined with parchment paper. Leave at least 2 inches between the cookies. Press a thumbprint into the center of each cookie and place the cookies into the oven. Bake the cookies for 8 to 10 minutes. Remove the cookies from the oven and fill each one with a teaspoon of raspberry jam. Place the cookies on a wire rack to cool. Tips: if using store-bought jam for filling, make sure to look for a clean one with no added harmful ingredients or preservatives. To make a homemade raspberry filling, mash fresh ripe raspberries or frozen raspberries that have been thawed with raw honey or maple syrup until desired consistency is reached. Thyroid grab-and-go combos. Sometimes simple is all you need or have time for. When you're running out of the door or too busy to follow a recipe, you don't need to sacrifice nutrition or flavor for convenience. Instead, pull together these quick and easy food combinations specifically geared to support your healing process. Better yet, prep a few of these pairs ahead so that when time is of the essence, all you need to do is grab them and go. Cauliflower and apple. Cauliflower florets and apple slices. This combination brings inflammation down in the thyroid while providing new memory to the thyroid cells, teaching them to be independent after they may have grown sluggish from thyroid medication dependency. Tomatoes and spinach. Together, these foods strengthen the liver at the same time that they flush the lymphatic system and build up the immune system to fend off a viral load that may target the thyroid. Celery and dates. Combining critical mineral salts with high-quality, bioavailable glucose, this is a powerful adrenal restorative to provide backup superpower for the thyroid. Banana and dulse flakes. Iodine, potassium, and sodium together in this snack strengthen the entire endocrine system and central nervous system against neurotoxins and their ill effects. Kale and mango. This combination of alkaloids and carotenes allows them to easily enter the thyroid, helping to stop the growth of nodules and cysts there. Pears and arugula. Wonderful for protecting the thyroid from atrophy and shrinkage. Together, these foods boost the thyroid's frequency abilities. Wild blueberries and papaya provide fighting power to stop, reduce, and prevent thyroid tumors, both cancerous and benign. Restore thyroid tissue after part of the gland has been surgically removed or killed off through radioactive iodine treatment. Tangerine and raspberries. As a team, these foods help prevent the calcium loss that can occur as the thyroid virus forces the body to use its calcium stores to wall off the virus in nodules and cysts, both in the thyroid itself and throughout the body. Help prevent osteoporosis. Chapter 25. Thyroid Healing Techniques. If you came to this book with the belief that your thyroid had let you down, or your body had somehow turned against you, it is vital to your healing process that you remind yourself each and every day now that your body is on your side. Do whatever you need to do to internalize this message. Post a note on your bathroom mirror, write it in your journal each night, or make it a daily affirmation. You did nothing wrong. Your body did nothing wrong. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you are in sync in your intention to get better. When you really connect with this, when you understand that your thoughts and feelings were never holding you back, that your body was never attacking you, you activate healing on every level. Throughout part 3, Thyroid Resurrection, you found knowledge and techniques to heal from the thyroid virus. In the following pages, you'll find techniques you can employ to activate healing specifically in your thyroid. These help the thyroid physically and also on a soul level, because your thyroid has its own soul, and when that soul is nurtured, your thyroid blossoms and thrives, just like the care and feeding of your greater soul is integral to your well-being. Light Infusion Tonics. One powerful technique for relief and support when you're dealing with a thyroid condition is to infuse your drinking water with healing light. To do this, pour a glass of water and set it down in front of you. Raise a fist above your head and visualize it filling with white light. Now release your hand, opening your fingers toward the glass, and say, "Light," aloud as you picture the light streaming into the water. Repeat, making a fist again, gathering light, and then releasing it towards the glass as you say "light" for an ideal total of 7 times. Angels around you will know what you're doing and assist you with the light making. With each repetition, light infuses the water with more healing energy, changing its structure so that it becomes a divine, transformative tonic. For particular thyroid support, gargle the water before swallowing it. As you do so, envision the water's light flowing into your thyroid and killing off the EBV cells that are targeting the gland, as it also repairs tissue damage. Filling water with light is also a compassionate gesture if you're looking to support a loved one who's suffering with a thyroid condition. Follow the infusion process above, then offer it to your partner, friend, or family member. Making light-filled water part of a thyroid healing routine, whether you've infused it yourself or it's come from another, gives your thyroid a blanket of compassionate support. At the same time, the light stimulates the thyroid's personalized immune system, namely its special lymphocytes, and can act as a battery charger to the gland. For some additional gentle thyroid hormone support, make your own homeopathic tonic by first mixing the water with the powdered amino acid supplement L-tyrosine and a bit of iodine. Add 1/4 of the L-tyrosine bottle's recommended dosage to 8 ounces of water, plus 1 tiny drop of high-quality nascent iodine. Stir well, then follow the light infusion instructions just described. Butterfly sun soaking. You may have heard the shape of the thyroid gland compared to the shape of a butterfly, with a wing-like lobe on either side. There is a similarity. Little does anyone know that it goes beyond looks. In fact, the thyroid collects sunlight on those wings, much like a butterfly does. Plus, butterflies fly on and produce radio-like frequencies as the thyroid does. When you soak up sunlight, especially when you get it on the front of your neck, even for just a few minutes, your thyroid collects it as though the gland were made of 2 solar panels. This sunlight helps power your thyroid, balances its production of hormones, keeps EBV from proliferating there, and stimulates and strengthens your thyroid's own immune system and your overall immune system, which in turn keeps the virus from doing damage to the thyroid. All that, and your thyroid also acts as your body's storage bin for the sun's rays. When you go days, weeks, or even months without getting enough sun, Your immune system can pull from your thyroid's storage of that light and energy to defend your thyroid and the rest of your body against invaders like EBV. To enhance your thyroid's process of collecting sunlight for healing, try this meditation. As you sit in the sunlight, envision your thyroid as a butterfly resting on a rock. Feel each lobe or wing fan out in the warmth. Now see and feel the sun's rays absorbing into each wing, sending their healing energy deep into your cells. As you do this, breathe deeply and evenly. Feel yourself breathing light into your throat at the same time as air. As we talked about, getting enough oxygen is an important part of fighting off the thyroid virus. This deep breathing helps oxygenate your blood, which helps protect you from EBV. If you're missing all or part of your thyroid, know that a butterfly can still fly with a torn wing. It runs on the butterfly's all-one energy provided by the Earth's frequency. As we looked at earlier, when your thyroid is compromised or gone, your body still operates as if your thyroid were intact. So this technique still works. It is an exercise that works when your thyroid is in perfect health too. So long after you've said goodbye to EBV and any health concerns and brought your thyroid back to life, you can continue to return to this meditation as an act of thankfulness. Taking the time to honor your thyroid for all it has done for you and to support it in supporting you, you'll also get a chance to reflect back on how far you've come. Two thyroids are better than one. The thyroid's radio-like frequencies that we looked at in Chapter 4, your thyroid's true purpose, don't stop at communicating with the rest of your body. These frequencies also reach out to others' thyroids, which means that a healthy thyroid has the ability to support an ailing one simply by proximity. Here's how it works. If someone with an ailing thyroid, damaged by the thyroid virus, stands next to someone with a better functioning thyroid, the two thyroids will communicate with each other through their radio-like frequencies, with the ailing thyroid sending out a request for help. When the healthier thyroid detects this signal, it will first send a preliminary message to prime the compromised thyroid to receive aid. Once the thyroid in need has prepared itself, the helper thyroid will send a frequency that improves the ability of the other thyroid's personalized immune system, the lymphocytes in that area, to protect the gland and also assists the thyroid in receiving the lymphocytes' help, at the same time strengthening the thyroid itself. Even if you're missing your thyroid, it can receive help in this way. As we looked at in Chapter 20, Life Without a Thyroid, your thyroid still has a presence, no matter what. The frequencies that the thyroid emits are extremely powerful. They're similar to the messages that whales and dolphins use to communicate in the ocean. The thyroid's frequencies are so strong that if one person is developing thyroid cancer, another person's thyroid can send it messages to slow down and try to stop that cancer's development. It takes close contact for two thyroids to communicate. The two people must be at most an arm's length apart. A hug is a great way for a thyroid to get or give help, though not the only way. As long as another person is within arm's reach, your thyroid's frequencies can get to each other. This thyroid-to-thyroid support will happen even if you don't love or even like one another. You could be sitting next to your boss in a meeting, a boss who's insulted you more times than you can count. And if her thyroid is in need and yours is doing better, yours will help hers, or vice versa. You've probably experienced this thyroid communication phenomenon without knowing what it was. It's how unexplained feelings can come over you when you're in the presence of another person. It may be someone whose personality puts you off, and yet standing side by side in the break room at work, a warm, comfortable, at-ease feeling will wash over you, leading you to want to be around him. People don't realize in this situation that the feelings come either because your thyroid is offering help or receiving it. Now imagine what this thyroid-to-thyroid communication can do for you when you know it's happening. The knowledge alone that you have this tool in your toolkit can strengthen and support your thyroid. The awareness that your thyroid is not on its own, that it can receive assistance from those around you, it is an extraordinary technique to take the loneliness and despair out of illness. Even if you don't have the most supportive people in your life, their thyroids can help yours heal. Our thyroids are compassionate. They offer help unconditionally. Knowing there's a part of us that operates with this unconditional compassion elevates our understanding of ourselves and each other, giving us hope and true appreciation for our internal workings. And if you're the friend, family member or caretaker of someone with thyroid illness, this gives you a way to know you are helping. It's so easy to feel powerless when we watch a loved one suffer. When you know that simply being close to someone with a compromised thyroid physically supports that person, you can have some peace. You don't need to have a perfectly healthy or even intact thyroid yourself in order for it to offer help to another thyroid. In fact, you could be suffering with mild hypothyroidism yourself, and your thyroid will be able to send out healing frequencies to a thyroid that's in, for example, an advanced stage of Hashimoto's thyroiditis. All it takes is for one thyroid to be slightly healthier than the other. The only time that one thyroid can't support another is when their challenges are exactly equal, and that's very rare. Most of the time, even similarly compromised thyroids have subtle differences. This means that no matter how much you are suffering, you are probably still in a position to support someone who's worse off simply by being in their presence, giving you a way to help others when you're tired of being the one who needs help. The effects of one thyroid aiding another can last for days or even weeks. All of this happens without draining the healthier thyroid. These messages don't take away from its own strength. The healthier thyroid doesn't take on the problems of the one in need. And as we looked at in Chapter 3, how the thyroid virus works, by the time EBV has caused damage to the thyroid, it's not contagious anymore. So being close to someone with a struggling thyroid won't hurt a person who's not dealing with the thyroid virus. Medical research and science will not discover interthyroid communication, what I call ITC, for another 100 years or more, since they don't yet have basic awareness of the thyroid's radio-like frequencies within the body, let alone outside of it. For science to grasp this process, they'll need tests to detect and monitor the frequencies. Tests that don't yet exist. For now, have faith. In this moment, with all your new expertise, you've already begun to heal. You are the closest you've ever been to feeling better. That day when you can't remember what it feels like to be unwell is out there. Keep a light heart, show yourself some compassion, and remember, you can heal. Chapter 26. Finally Healed. One Woman's Story. Sally Arnold knew she wanted to help people with their health since she was a small girl. So when she became a registered nurse as a young woman, it wasn't just a career, it was a calling. As she gained experience in the field, she never had a reason to doubt her training or colleagues. She worked with compassionate, intelligent people who made the lives of their patients better. Sally had also had a few health challenges along the way, beginning with a hysterectomy and a prescription for hormone replacement therapy in her 20s. For the next 20-plus years, autoimmune-ish symptoms stayed with her. These included insomnia, severe exhaustion, a foggy brain, she always felt like it was 3 o'clock in the morning, weight gain, despite regular exercise and calorie restriction, chronic grumpiness, cold hands and feet, small growths on her skin, arthritis-like achiness in her joints, a chronic stuffy nose, lower libido, a feeling of slowness, chronic constipation that translated to bowel movements only twice a week, toenail fungus that turned her big toenail grey-black, forgetfulness, a pervasive grey cloud feeling, irrational anxiety, and a racing heart that could go up to 120 beats per minute out of nowhere, sometimes prompting panic attacks that woke her in the middle of the night. She'd always had a buoyant, happy nature, so she imagined that the challenge of this mystery condition could have resulted in a deep depression for someone else. Plus, Sally dealt with hair loss to the point of finding shiny bald spots on her scalp that felt like pencil erasers. At the hairdresser, she'd get tutorials on how to comb over and fluff up her hair to conceal the bare areas. Her eyebrows were falling out too. She worried that she might eventually end up bald. Twice, only 6 weeks apart, she experienced labyrinthitis, inner ear inflammation that caused dizziness so strong that she had to visit the hospital and be wheeled into the ER while vomiting from the spinning. She also had a rash that had worked its way up to covering 3/4 of her back that no one knew how to address. She worried it would keep advancing. Everything felt big, and she felt raw and vulnerable. For 2 decades, Sally didn't feel like herself. She exercised 5 times a week and watched what she ate, so she couldn't figure out why she didn't feel better. It didn't make sense. As a nurse, she says, I felt like I had failed my own health. I felt lonely inside my body. Still, she didn't have a reason to believe that medical answers were missing. How do you know what you don't know? She says now. One doctor listened to her symptoms, described her in her chart as obese, middle-aged, and female, and declared that she had Hashimoto's. Sally felt judged and unheard. She went along with his prescription for synthetic thyroid hormones, hoping that it would help her to feel better. On the medication, though, her TSH test only came back at 0.24. She didn't experience any improvements, and in fact ended up with 7 nodules on her thyroid. Next, she went the holistic route, going by a symptoms checklist rather than lab tests. This new doctor confirmed that her issues must be thyroid-related and switched her to porcine-derived thyroid medication. Sally still didn't feel better. She visited another doctor, and he put her back on the synthetic thyroid hormones. Before long, though, she was back on the porcine thyroid hormones. She did this medication dance for years, scared of what would happen if she went off them, and all the while her symptoms got worse. Her hair kept falling out, and the size of her body grew. At various points, she'd been told she had hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, and Hashimoto's. Nobody had the answers. The only thing Sally knew was that the doctors didn't know. By the time she was 52, Sally was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. She tried the traditional medical approach, nothing worked, and she realized the medical field couldn't answer her questions about why she felt so poorly. That's when she contacted me. Despite feeling that talking to me was pretty out there, and a big leap of faith considering her background as a clinical nurse, she was desperate for answers, and she was curious if I could tell her what was wrong. Before our phone call, Sally wrote down a list of her questions for me. She was skeptical enough that she didn't want to offer any information, so instead she let me do all the talking. Through listening to Spirit and doing my scan of her body, I found that EBV was at the root of her problems. It explained everything, from the achiness to the anxiety to the thyroid diagnosis, to the inner ear inflammation, to the rash, to the irritability, to the insomnia and beyond. As I told her about her health, Sally says that I went down her private handwritten checklist item by item in order, as if I had been reading it. At the end of my scan, I mentioned a small calcification in her left breast that she had known about for over 15 years. It had been observed by mammogram, but hadn't caused any problems, and no one other than her doctors and family knew about it. When I brought it up, she knew that she could trust the information I was offering. In order to heal her EBV, I suggested that for a little while, Sally try cutting out the problematic foods that I list in Chapter 21, common misconceptions and what to avoid. In their place, I suggested that she load up on fruits and vegetables with a focus on wild blueberries, kale and cilantro. I also pointed her toward antiviral supplements such as L-lysine and, because I could tell she could tolerate it, small amounts of iodine. As she began to feel better, Sally made the decision that she wanted to go off of the 5 different medications she was taking, including her thyroid prescription. Over the next year, she decided to lower her dosages incrementally because she wanted to do it right. A few months after being medication-free, she went in for thyroid testing. Her TSH level was now 1.52, totally within the normal range, and her other lab values were normal too, other than high cholesterol, which she had had even when she was young and athletic. Taming EBV had brought her thyroid back to health. Now, over 2 years, since that first phone call, Sally says that her quality of life is so much more harmonious. In the beginning, she wasn't sure how she would adapt to the change in diet, though it's now easy, normal, and no big deal. Her husband, who's been incredibly supportive all along, nonetheless used to laugh at the colour of her morning detox smoothies. He now drinks one every day. She's thrilled to be able to eat fruit again after being scared of it for years, and she likes to approach meals with the question, "What can I eat today that's bright and colourful?" instead of, "How will I get my servings of fruits and vegetables?" Though most of her improvements were incremental, one was immediate, the relief of her constipation. Every morning since our phone call, she's had a bowel movement, which she says in itself was transformative after the discomfort that used to plague her. Symptoms like her toenail fungus were slower moving, though they did leave her eventually. Her thyroid nodules disappeared, and she hasn't had a panic attack in over 2 years. Before lowering her EBV viral load, Sally's lower back had gone out on a regular basis, to the point where sometimes she couldn't even walk. Her husband, a chiropractor, had always said it didn't feel musculoskeletal, though they didn't know to relate it to her other symptoms. Now she can trace those back problems to viral flare-ups. Her back hasn't gone out since she started the protocol. The only change that hasn't come yet is losing some extra weight. To shed those unwanted pounds and enter her next phase of healing, Sally has just started juicing so she can alkalize and flush her system. The bright side is that Sally's weight at least stabilized once she started fighting off EBV. If she hadn't gotten her EBV under control, she would have become much heavier over the past 2 years. Some of Sally's greatest relief comes from the shift in her mental state. "It's really hard to be your best self when you're exhausted," she says. And now that the fatigue has lifted and she's able to sleep again, her short fuse is gone. She's back to being responsive rather than reactive, and his return to her default state of going to bed happy and waking up happy. She has the energy and enthusiasm to balance her family with caring for her property, running two cafes, and traveling often as she pursues the work of her heart, using her background in nursing to teach a neuroscience-based secular mindfulness curriculum. A sense of well-being and peace has replaced Sally's anxiety and grey cloud feeling. She feels so good, in fact, that she can easily forget how miserable and disconnected she used to feel, and how that was her normal. This past summer, she even went backpacking into the emigrant wilderness in California with a 45-pound pack for 5 days. Sally hadn't backpacked since she was 18. She feels like she got her life back. Her transformation makes her believe in the power of hope, intuition, baby steps, and following your internal compass. Change will happen, she says. Our bodies have the wisdom and know the way. Part 4. Secrets of Sleep. Chapter 27. Insomnia and Your Thyroid. If you struggle to get restful sleep, your thyroid is not the cause. You've probably heard the exact opposite, because the trends say that thyroid issues explain so much of insomnia. Truth is, they don't. If you find yourself tossing and turning at night, your thyroid is not to blame. Sleep itself is still such a mystery to medical communities, so the reasons why sleep goes wrong for so many people are even more enigmatic to them. That's why certain theories crop up, like the idea that a compromised thyroid, another mysterious aspect of health, creates sleep disruptions. Blaming the thyroid like this is like arriving at the scene of a house fire and pointing to the chimney as the cause without doing any forensics. With the proper approach, investigators would find that there wasn't even a fire in the fireplace and the boiler wasn't running. The chimney couldn't have been the cause. And yet, because it's right there, it's considered the problem. The thyroid as problem fad is not based on proof or understanding. It's mythical. Though, as I've said before, myths can become law when they're repeated often enough. Not a single strand of truth could tie sleep and thyroid together. It just so happens that many people have both a sleep issue and a thyroid issue at the same time. So medical theorists have mistaken correlation for causation. In many cases, both thyroid problems and disrupted sleep are caused by the Epstein-Barr virus, which is the true reason they so often happen in tandem. That's right. EBV is yet again a culprit in a common health complaint. It's not the only culprit, though. Many different factors can cause trouble with sleep, and you can have several going on at once. For example, EBV's neurotoxins may be diminishing the neurotransmitters you need to send the proper sleep signals, and at the same time, your liver may be clogged, which sends it into a subtle spasm in the early morning hours that wakes you up once you've finally fallen asleep. On top of which, maybe a lot of MSG has snuck its way into your meals over the years, and the MSG buildup in your brain is burning out the neurons you need to keep your mind at peace at bedtime. Or maybe you're in the situation where EBV's neurotoxins are giving you aches and pains that make it difficult to sleep, plus your adrenals are too maxed out to produce enough of the specialized adrenaline blend you need to power sleep signals, plus some toxic heavy metals that have gotten into your system over the years are blocking proper sleep-related neurological activity in your brain. More on these and other causes soon. Know this. In none of these cases is the thyroid itself the problem. Sleep is not governed by your thyroid hormones. Your thyroid is also not burning out your brain, or clogging your liver, or making you achy, or antagonizing your adrenals, or filling your system with toxins. It's innocent. Those who say otherwise are misled. The trend that says your thyroid explains sleep is one where two medical mysteries are combined as though two unknowns make a known. It's a situation where well-meaning practitioners adopt a theory as a belief system and put the idea out there, and the theory can quickly take on a life of its own. Here's the thing. Sleep is critical for ridding yourself of EBV and healing your thyroid. As long as you go by the misguided theories, you'll be cut off from getting to the bottom of your sleep issue. And without understanding what's going wrong with your sleep, it's very difficult to make the problem go away. Even if you wouldn't list insomnia or sleep disturbance as one of your chronic issues, learning how to harness sleep so it can be the most healing it can be is a critical part of your recovery. So far in this book, you've discovered the virus that's behind the vast majority of thyroid disorders. You've gained knowledge about the health mistakes and misconceptions to avoid. You've heard all about foods and supplements that kill the virus and repair the thyroid, and you've picked up some techniques to take your healing even further. Now we arrive at the cornerstone, sleep. Without the proper sleep, you can't properly heal. When you do get proper sleep, and when you know how to put your mind at ease when you're lying there awake, you possess one of the most powerful weapons for fighting EBV and resurrecting your thyroid. That's because sleep is essential to immune function. Your overall immune system and your thyroid's and liver's individual immune systems. It's the ultimate restorative, useful for, one, building up the thyroid's strength so it can keep the body in homeostasis, as well as fend off and cleanse virus cells there. Two, bolstering the liver as it cleanses itself of EBV and its waste matter. And three, allowing neurotransmitter chemicals to restore themselves after being burnt out by viral neurotoxins. Sleep is an amazing preventative too. For example, if you get the right sleep when EBV is still in stage 2, plus you get the nutritional support we looked at in part 3, thyroid resurrection, and remove those foods that feed the virus, your liver can get the support it needs to fight off the viral infection so that it doesn't advance to the thyroid. If you struggle with sleep, this may all sound stressful. You may be thinking, enough already, I get it. Of course I would get sleep if I could. Since the irony is that getting sleep helps heal the issues that cause problems with sleep in the first place, you may be worried that because sleep doesn't come easily for you, you're cut off from this precious resource. It can feel like a vicious cycle. Set your worries aside. First of all, when you figure out what's behind your sleep issue in the first place, insomnia no longer has the power to loom over you as this unknowable adversary. When you can identify what's keeping you from the sleep you need, you gain the upper hand and sleep immediately becomes less elusive. Secondly, there are secrets of sleep you can learn to employ to your advantage so that its healing benefits don't remain out of reach. When you see into sleep's mysteries, the cycle transforms from vicious to virtuous. The more quality sleep you get, the more you can eliminate the issues that make sleep troublesome in the first place. Around and around it goes as you heal, until sleep becomes your go-to source of respite, one that takes care of you and renews you so you can meet another day with the vitality you need to pursue your purpose and make the world a better place. Chapter 28. Your Sleep Wellspring. We all want restful sleep. We all deserve restful sleep. From the moment you left the womb and took your first breath, sleep was owed to you. With every waking breath, you've taken since, you've earned more sleep. When I first came into my gift, I struggled to get much sleep. As a child and teenager, I was constantly up in the night worrying.